Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
My name is Kyle Gibson. I'm the community coordinator for RNIB in Swansea. Part of my role really is helping people here in RNIB Swansea and in Neatham Port Talbot to get involved in not just our services but mainstream ones. So if people do want to get involved, it doesn't have to be sport, it could be leisure. So here they have adapted tennis sessions for people with blindness or vision impairments of all kinds, and I first visited here back in April when I started, and it was a really good session, you know, and everybody's very friendly. And I mean, one of the difference makers for this is that with these sessions you can be as competitive as you like, but you can also be as relaxed as you like, so it's a benefit for everybody really.
Have you played tennis before?
Not in this capacity. I'd played blind cricket for many years, but never really blind tennis, maybe once or twice. I'd heard about it and sort of had a little go, as I say, last month. But yeah, never really played it before.
So how are you getting on with it?
Well, this, it's actually really, and I can't emphasise this enough, that if you want to be competitive, which I often do, because that's my way, you can do that. And one of the things I just was talking to Sam about is the fact that you are running around on a court. You kind of get tired, but you also let out some good old-fashioned aggression by hitting a ball. But you also have to maintain focus, and you have to sort of learn to discipline yourself and say, this is when to run, this is when to stay, this is when to figure things out. So, you know, you learn quite a bit doing this. And then the session I came to before was a lot more relaxed. It was a lot more sort of chilled out. But it's nice to sort of come in today and have a go with Sean and just let loose, really.
Now, you obviously seem to be quite comfortable in the tennis court, but can I ask you to tell me about your sight loss?
I have been registered blind. Well, I've had my condition since I was born. I have a thing called aniridia and nystagmus. I also have cataracts. So as a result of that, I'm extremely photophobic. I don't like bright lights, but I also struggle in dark places, so a lot of my field of vision is really just how much light is in the room, for the most part. It's difficult to read small prints and sort of tell where things are far away or near. So I wear my glasses pretty much every day and very, very rarely take them off. Yeah, that's sort of where I am with my sight at the moment.
I notice it's not stopping you getting around the court.
I happen to be confident enough to walk around a court as it is because I know where I am and who's around me and how many people are there. But, you know, sometimes that takes a lot of practice.
Kyle Gibson, Swansea Community Coordinator. Sean Donovan from Swansea has been playing tennis for just over 2 years. During a quick break from his training, I asked Sean what made him take up the game.
I've always loved sport, and a couple of years ago I was looking for a sport that could help me become more physically active, and I saw there was VI tennis sessions happening here in Swansea in the RNIB newsletter, so I decided to come down and take part. My sight loss was through a brain tumour I had when I was young, and damaged my optic nerves while it was growing in the location it was in my brain, and as a result the surgeons had to damage and cut away a little bit of the optic nerve, which meant I had sight loss. And now I can't see a lot of things to my left-hand side of my eyes. So unless you're standing either on my right or directly in front of me, I won't be able to see you. So that's basically been my sight loss since I was 8 years old.
There's something in the ball so that you can hear it. So does that become really attuned to the sound in that ball?
Yes, it can be, especially as these balls don't bounce like the regular tennis balls. It very often you can almost pick up whether or not the bounce will be true or whether there'll be a slight difference in the direction it takes as it approaches you. Now, I mainly just played tennis for leisure before, not sort of a serious competitive level. I just did it in any spare time or for leisure activities. Like I said, I saw this, and I suppose I'd be missing a little bit in my life to get involved in sport on a competitive level. I was involved with the VI football team, and at one point I had to stop because of I had to go off to college and study there, so I was looking for something else then, and VI tennis came along. The sessions are once a week, but I'm now starting an extra session in a pan-disability tennis format. So I'll be playing not just people who are visually impaired, but who have other disabilities as well. So I'm doing 2 weeks now, and I'm hoping to maybe start three times a week to step up in preparation for this upcoming competition. It's up in Sutton in South London, and it will be my first competition. It's part of the regional competitions they do throughout the UK. But each competitor gets given a category that they can play in. They can choose to play in other categories, but they got to play to their category rule while the other player plays to theirs. But I'll be in the B4 category, which at the moment has one other player in there. So I'll just go along and I'll try my best. You know, it's going to be a heck of an experience. But one day I hope to compete in the nationals, and if that goes well, to hopefully get onto one of the international competitions.
You mentioned that there was somebody else in your B4 category. So would they have sort of similar sight loss?
Yes, you'll have the same sort of impairment. We all have to get our doctors to basically state in a letter what kind of sight loss we have, and we send that away to the British Blind Sport, and they give us a classification of what we'll be in, and then we send that off to the Tennis Foundation to enter into the tournament.
You mentioned pan disability, Sean. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
The pan disability sessions basically mean that there are people who attend there who have a variety of disabilities, not just VI. So there's wheelchair tennis players, players with learning disabilities, and yeah, that's it. It's anybody who has any form of disability. There's also deaf players as well. Mm-hmm. So it's well, you know, anybody who has a disability is welcome to come along and participate.
Presumably then, people in wheelchairs only play against people with wheelchairs, or do you all mix in?
Oh, no, no, we can all mix in, yeah. I played somebody in a wheelchair the other day, and she's very good. And, you know, she's still in the early stages of entering the sport, so it's just a case of I'm comfortable with the level she's playing at, and if she doesn't feel comfortable with what I'm doing, then she asked me just to maybe go a bit slower, maybe hit the shots a little shorter so she can access them easier. So it's no problem, like, we're all learning. So yeah, it's all one step at a time.
I've stopped you long enough from your training session. Good luck with it all.
Sean Donovan. Sean's coach is Sam Munson, a lead disability coach in Wales, and I asked Sam how he got involved in VI tennis.
Bit of a strange one. I was the only coach in the club that was willing to get involved with any form of disability sport. A lot of other coaches have said it's out of their comfort zone, things like that. So I sort of took it on. As I've carried on, I've adapted, I've learnt, and I'm a lot more confident now in coaching disability tennis.
How long have these sessions been happening in Swansea?
They've probably been going on now for about 18 months to 2 years, on and off. When we started, we had quite a big following, quite a big turnout. And because you've got a slight lack of coaches and things like that, when you've got big numbers, you need more coaches to support. So with a lack of coaches, you've then got players start to drop off because you can't give each player the support they need. So numbers drop, and then numbers pick up, and then numbers drop again. And it's really the ones that keep coming and the ones that have a more continuous form of training are the ones that will play to a higher level, like Sean now, who's off to, say, Sutton to play in his first tournament. But he's been coming for the best part of 18 months, nearly for the full whack. Whereas others who have sort of dropped off, and they could have been playing in competition, they could have been representing the region, the county, even on a national level. But now, due to, say, lack of coaches that want to be involved, and coaches that struggle to comprehend disability sport, it's now stopping players that maybe want to keep active from taking part in sport, which is a little bit of a sad state for the world of not just tennis but disability sport in general.
So what has helped to keep motivating you to continue training with people who are disabled?
It's probably more the, say, job satisfaction rather than financial, because at the end of the day, for them, it's a sense of achievement. And when it comes to the realms of disability, not just VI but with LD, with wheelchair players, it gives them more of a sense of something they've achieved on their own, and it gives them more of a sense of place, really, as opposed to someone who needs continuous support and things like that. They're doing things for themselves, and then they get a sense of achievement.
So you've been with Sean more or less from the beginning then?
Pretty much from the beginning, when he's been coming to the sessions, and he's coming in leaps and bounds, really. Quite strong on court. I think it's a big learning curve because every player is different. But one of the biggest challenges we've got, I think, as a nation with disability sport, is getting people to understand that they can actually compete and they can play and they can exercise. If you say to someone who's visually impaired, well, you can come and play tennis, and they sort of go, what do you mean I can play tennis? I can't see the ball. I can't do this. I can't do that. You go, well, actually, you can. It's adapted. And a lot of the equipment's adapted for them. You've got raised lines. You've got, as you probably hear, you've got a ball with a rattle in it so they can hear what they go, and we allow more bounces. But to explain that to every visually impaired player as a whole, it comes as a shock to don't realise that it's there. So I think, along with most realms of disability sport, it's a lack of promotion from sports, from sports governing bodies, from even coaches and, say, venues. If people don't know the sessions are going on, then how can they take part in them? So as a nation, I think it's probably more vital that we let people know these sessions are going on, and that getting people on court. Once you get them on, as a coach, you adapt. You learn how to coach different people, say, with their individual issues, with their individual sort of abilities. You learn what to do. So I've got an open disability session. I've got two autistic players. One of them's in a chair. I've got a visually impaired player. And when they first step on court, you sort of go, oh, right, I've got to do this for them, that for the other, and this for these guys, which, again, can be quite tricky. But you learn to adapt your sessions. And for people to say, oh, well, you know, I can't really do that. It's not what I'm used to. Say, look, just come down and try it. As soon as they get on court and they go, well, actually, maybe there is a chance I can play this. They can enjoy it, where they can get active, they can exercise, they can actually improve their fitness.
When I was watching you earlier, I heard you say, take three steps forward there, that'll take you into one place. Three steps back and you're on the line, sort of thing. So how do you talk them through a tennis court?
Movement around a court, say, is quite a big thing in tennis. You can't just stand still and hit a ball. So we have to walk players around the court, let them get their bearings. But it all depends on their category. We've got some players who are totally blind. They need a lot more support on a court to understand dimensions, movement, things like that. But we've got other players who have got quite a good range of sight, in which case they can see a lot more, they can make out the size of the court. They don't need quite as much support in that sense.
Are they expensive, the balls?
The balls that we use are from the Japanese Blind Tennis Association. So we've got to get them over from Japan, but they were kindly donated by Tennis Wales. So we work quite closely with Tennis Wales to promote disability sport, and they're very keen to supply equipment.
And why Japan?
The Japanese are the ones that came up with the concept of visually impaired tennis. Then they came up with adaptive equipment. So really it's all about the technology behind things, that they've been able to adapt a lot quicker than the rest of the world.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.